Well, this whole thing started in Los Angeles 3 years ago when Walt Cross and I hit the streets here, and you'll be hearing from Walt in a few minutes. And we started doing questionnaires out of the streets. We were asking people about the sense of danger that they had about being in the city, what their concerns were, or if they had any at all, and what kind of ways they might want to respond to those concerns. We found a remarkable dichotomy between what people on the streets of LA said to us and what experts were saying that we later interviewed in the film America's City. How many of you have seen America's City Coming Crisis? Okay, there's a lot of hands that haven't gone up. You can watch it online at our website, which we'll give you later on today. We also have the films available today. It's normally $19.95. We're selling it here for $15. And you can buy it on DVD. There are a couple special features on the DVD that are not online. We did an interview with a lieutenant colonel in the Army that's on there, and also a special feature on EMP. But we found this dichotomy between what many people thought was coming and what the experts said. And so in the process of then doing the film, we interviewed a number of people, and I'm not going to name them all here, and it looks like the screen might be a little dark. I have a hard time seeing these guys. But we interviewed people from HHS, U.S. Congress, as I mentioned already, the military, top universities, Georgetown, Harvard. We talked to a former associate director of FEMA. And we were gathering from these guys, what do you see coming down the road for the metropolitan areas? And we found, as I was saying, this dichotomy between what most people think and what these officials were telling us. And so what I want to look at is just a few snippets from what these men had to say. The first one here is from Grant Peterson, who says, the former associate director of FEMA. You notice what he said. When you talk about all hazards, you talk about everything that goes from a natural disaster event, a technological event, to a terrorist event. By doing an analysis of what are the natural disasters that could be focused within or very near high urban metropolitan areas, there are many. And a lot of people are very concerned about bioterrorism and nuclear terrorism. We're going to look at some quotes from experts in those fields. But one thing that history has borne out, and I believe we'll see it more in the future, it's happening in Europe right now, with all the airlines having been shut down from a volcano. Mother Nature can even cause some of our most feared man-made disasters to pale in insignificance when major natural disasters strike. And I want to move next to this statement from Michael Osterholm, the director of SIDRAP, which is the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy, probably the top expert in the United States on pandemic and possibly bioterrorism as well. What did he say? Where is the biggest and most effective target? It's cities. If I'm going to go after a large number of humans, I'm going to get something that goes into the air, it spreads large distances, and in those large distances are lots of people. That's your metropolitan areas. Some of you know that Bob Graham, Senator Bob Graham, was heading a commission to try and determine the threat that we're facing from weapons of mass destruction, which again would be targeting our metropolitan areas. Here's what he had to say about the bio threat, because some people say, well, you know, it hasn't really happened that big yet. Are we making too big a deal out of this? But notice what he said. It starts with a question. Is the bio threat overblown? No. Just 2 or 3 pounds of anthrax scattered over a major city could kill more Americans than the number who died in World War II. According to the National Counterterrorism Center, cleanup and other economic costs could exceed $1.8 trillion. So we're talking about incredible impact from something that seems really small. We interviewed Graham Allison, probably the leading expert in the United States on the problem of nuclear terror. Here's what he said. I think a sober assessment must conclude that American cities are indeed in the crosshairs for nuclear terrorists. He went on to say this. If you try to think about Al-Qaeda's target list, there's no question that they target bigger targets, symbolic targets. Cities are at greater risk than rural areas because in the rural areas, the bomb wouldn't actually succeed in killing very many people. So once again, we see this pattern developing. And then in the Washington Post, December 2, 2008, I read this. The odds that terrorists will soon strike a major city with weapons of mass destruction are now better than even, a bipartisan congressional mandated task force concludes in a draft study that warns of growing threats from rogue states, nuclear smuggling networks, and the spread of atomic know-how in the developing world. This is the world we're living in now. And the very real danger is that if you're living in a metropolitan area, your odds are greatly increased of having to deal with something like this. And this is what the experts were telling us. Why Los Angeles? I was talking to a radio producer recently, and this is the question that she asked me. What does this have to do with Los Angeles? Well, this is the list I shared with her. Number one, it's the second largest city in the United States. That alone makes LA a very coveted target. I hate to use that word, but that's how some of these people in the world look at this. Number two, LA has been targeted before. I'm sure you're aware of that. LAX is considered one of the top targets in the nation, being the fifth busiest airport in the world. And already a plot has been foiled. It was a plot to set up a bomb at LAX. There also seems to be evidence, although not a whole lot of information was released on this, that the bank building downtown here, the big one, that was a target. Number four, earthquake probabilities are high. I guess I skipped number three. I'll come back to number three. I don't know, you live in LA, are you getting tired of hearing about earthquakes? Some people are nodding their head, yes. And it's true that, you know, I guess you have them all the time, small ones at least. The one a couple weeks ago was maybe a little bit more disturbing. How many of you felt that one? I would assume I'd see most hands. They say 20 million people felt that earthquake. And the prediction is, of course, that the big one is extremely likely. And the big concern is San Andreas Fault. Number three, Los Angeles is a target because it's a very important symbol in America, because this is by many considered to be the heart of the entertainment industry. And I'm sure you're well aware of this, but there is a lot of ill will towards America in some cultures because of the entertainment industry. Some cultures, like the Muslim culture, does not appreciate particularly the way women are often portrayed and used in entertainment. And so there are a number of reasons why LA, being the entertainment capital, puts it on the map, really in the crosshairs. And of course, number five on the list is because of a coastal location. And anytime you have a coastal location, you also have some increased possibility for things like tsunami, which there was some concern about that only a couple months ago. Well, what do you need to survive? I don't have one of these kits that you can walk out of here with today. Sorry about that. But it is good to have some things, and you'll be learning about some of the things that you need to survive, some basic type of emergency preparedness survival gear that everyone should have. But more important than the gear, even, are the skills. And there are five skills that you need to survive the coming crisis in America's cities. I'm going to just move through them very quickly because we have seminars today that will deal with each of these things. Number one, learning to grow your own food. And I know somebody's probably thinking, well, I don't even have a space for a garden. That's all right. Brad is going to be sharing some things with you today about how you can start growing your own food now, wherever you live, and it's something you should do. If for no other reason, growing food requires a learning curve. And the best way to get into the learning curve is to start doing it. Books are great. Doing it is essential. Number two, essential skill. Long-term food storage. What do we mean by that? The ability to take food and package it in a way that will last for a long time. It makes it essentially non-perishable. And you can have it for an extended period of time. It's a skill that most Americans used to know how to do, but we've really lost it. And I know there are some of you out here, I'm sure, who know how to do some of these things, but there will be demonstrations today to get you started in long-term food storage. The next skill we want to talk about, establish your own alternative energy system. And we're happy to have Craig and Nick here. They're going to do an overview this morning and then something more in-depth this afternoon to talk about this. And when we say alternative energy, it's not just the possibility of electricity. I think we all know we could survive without electricity, but probably all of you would agree with me that if the electricity in the city went out right now and didn't come on for a long time, our life would change dramatically, immediately, and it would be stressful. So, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about another one that might be new to some of you, the importance of learning how to use natural home remedies. Why is this an important skill for surviving the coming crisis in America's cities? First of all, you know, some of the experts we talked to told us that in the case of any one of these major disasters that they're expecting, the medical facilities will be overwhelmed in a matter of minutes and will be incapable of dealing with the need for help that people are going to have. And that situation alone should help us understand that we need to learn how to use simple home remedies. And there's a lot you can learn to do. And Walt is going to be sharing some interesting things with you along those lines. All right, and finally, on my list, it's the last on my list. Maybe it should have been the first. It is, in my opinion, the most important, and that is a preparedness frame of mind. You can have all the right stuff, but if you don't have the right frame of mind, the odds are, at best, you'll be in such a panic in a bad situation that you may not have the presence of mind to be able to do what you need to do with what you have. But it runs deeper than that, too. It's learning to have a prepared mindset. So we're going to talk about that.